a hunter is mauled by a bear near the Chilkat River, and the Skagway Assembly welcomes its newest member and bids farewell to one of its longest-serving members. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories are up next. A Haines man was mauled by a brown bear along the Chilkat River Thursday evening. 21-year-old Casey Bradford is recovering from non-life-threatening injuries sustained during the attack. The mauling occurred while Casey Bradford was moose hunting with his father, Scott Bradford, about 25 miles northwest of Haines. Alaska Department of Fish and Game Wildlife Management biologist Carl Koch says he was notified of the incident a little before 8 p.m. He says that the Bradfords were returning to their boat at the end of the day when Casey was attacked.
Right about the time they came in view of each other, the father heard the son yell, saw him fall down with a bear. And so he ran toward the bear, and when he got closer, fired a shot intentionally away from the bear because he didn't want to accidentally injure his son.
The bear let go of Casey and started to run away. Scott shot at the bear as it entered the brush, but couldn't tell whether he hit it or not. The father and son were able to motor their skiff back to the boat launch and drive to the local clinic on their own. According to Alaska Wildlife Trooper Wallace Kirksey, Casey sustained puncture wounds to his arm and leg. His wounds were dressed at the local clinic, but he was transported to Juneau by the Coast Guard for further treatment. Koch says it is unclear what provoked the attack.
They had not harvested a moose, so that was not anything that would have brought the bear into the area. But, you know, wearing camo, starting to get darker, hard to say exactly what was, you know, the bear's motivation was. It's possible that it was a surprise.
There have been other encounters with aggressive bears in Haines this year. Last month, a brown bear charged two people who were hiking on Mount Rapinski. The bear did not make contact with either of them. Koch says the recent incidents are just a matter of bad luck.
This situation, I think, just like the hiking trail earlier this year, is, you know, just a case of wrong place, wrong time.
Koch says that warning signs will be posted near the area where the attack occurred. Fish and Game hasn't decided whether to search for the bear or not. State troopers are trying to determine whether or not the bear was injured during the encounter. The Bradfords did not respond to requests for comment by broadcast time. The Skagway Assembly met Thursday and made strides on municipal property management. They also confirmed election results and thanked exiting Assembly member Tim Cochran for his service. Claire Strempel reports.
The Skagway Assembly passed a resolution to support rockfall mitigation efforts by White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad, while limiting their liability. Several instances of rockfall on the railroad tracks and dock have startled residents and even delayed train service in the past few years. A rock slide last April broke through protective netting. Assemblymember Orion Hansen commended the mayor and manager for taking action.
This should have been done a long time ago, and it's a very good template for having this clearly laid out going forward, because we've had this issue in the past where we didn't have a clear understanding of the role between White Pass and the city, and this will make that very crystal clear.
Manager Brad Ryan met with White Pass and consultants to learn about the company's plans to remove loose rocks, replace and repair nets, and potentially reduce the size of certain boulders. The resolution includes a clause that aims to protect the municipality from liability in the event of future rockfall. White Pass is to meet with the chief of police to organize a response plan in the event of a slide. And a Port Commission report kept the Assembly up to date on Manager Brad Ryan's proposal that Skagway ask the state if they may take over ownership and maintenance of the ferry terminal. He says it could help maintain ferry service and allow the municipality to develop prime land. Assemblymember David Brenna said he saw potential in the proposal.
I'd like to see us move as quickly as possible on the ferry land acquisition to see what the possibilities are, and especially to see whether or not it might be possible to have a cruise ship dock there as well as a ferry dock.
He says that's because any expansion at the ore terminal before 2023 is unlikely. But the Port Commission did not pass the motion to recommend that move to the Assembly. The vote tied 2-2. Committee members are concerned by potential costs and have requested more details. They will reconsider the idea at their next meeting. Finally, the Assembly confirmed municipal election results and welcomed Dustin Stone to their number. He will take office on Monday the 7th. They also bade a fond farewell to Tim Cochran, a nearly decade-long presence on the Assembly dais. He pledged to stay involved in local government.
Kind of sad to go, but it's been a rewarding 9 years on the Assembly, and I will still come to the meetings. I will still be involved.
The Skagway Assembly's next meeting is scheduled for October 17th at 7 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. Reporting in Haines, I'm Claire Strumpel.
A new report says logging in the Tongass National Forest is costing taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars in federal subsidies, and it warns that a rollback of the federal roadless rule would accelerate this trend. Alaska's U.S. senators have been pushing for a rollback of the federal rule to open more parts of the Tongass to logging, arguing it could help the region's economy. But Taxpayers for Common Sense, a nonpartisan budget watchdog in Washington, D.C., released a 5-page report this month that calculates the U.S. Forest Service has lost nearly $600 million over 2 decades through road building and timber sales. That's an average net loss of about $30 million a year over the past 20 years. Autumn Hanna is vice president of Taxpayers for Common Sense.
The system is clearly broken if we are so underwater with our timber sales. So clearly that has to be addressed first. And I don't think that's not a winning scenario for federal taxpayers or the state of Alaska. I don't think that helps local economies, wasting hundreds of millions of dollars on selling a federal resource, one that all taxpayers across the country own, this timber.
Hanna says repealing the roadless rule would open up even more areas to logging at the public's expense. The U.S. Forest Service didn't comment on the report. State employment figures show Southeast Alaska's timber industry keeps about 340 people working in the sector. Last year's total earnings for individuals added up to about $18.7 million in the region. A decision by the U.S. Department of Agriculture over whether to formally roll back the roadless rule in Alaska is expected in the coming weeks. For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us. Our reports came from Claire Strempel in Haines and Jacob Resnick in Juneau. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also check out our podcast on the NPR One app and Stitcher.